A very warm welcome to Fireside Chats. My name is Magla Pillay, and today we are looking at the subject of there is no nourishment like happiness and no disease as bad as worry. The title is a mouthful, but I'm sure you'd find the content to be rather interesting. In the series, we look at the core of spirituality and how it impacts on your consciousness. We ask you, the viewer, to take a good look at your inner and outer world and ask yourself some very basic questions such as, are you happy? Is there anything in your life that you'd like to change and improve? And we specifically and particularly ask you to look at what your relationship is with God. Do you have a meaningful and real relationship with the Supreme Soul? So thank you so much for joining us. Sister Denise, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
A nourishment like happiness and disease like worry. Let's start with the bad news before we get to the good news. Worry. Sister Denise, we live in a world where a very large percentage find it impossible not to worry, because there's so many worrisome things occurring. I have a friend who is a parent of a toddler, a school-going kid, because she's employed, and she said to me, Magla, there's not a single second of the day where I don't worry about my child if he's not with me. So, and there's just one child, she's got three. Okay, so how does one overcome worry, Sister Denise, in a world that is so dangerous?
Well, you know, worrying about something or someone doesn't actually alter the situation. We have to make sure that we take care of the safety, protection of physical objects and people and all this that are in our care. But once you have done the optimum, then a good way is to say, okay, I put this in the hands of God. Because there is no way that you can guarantee somebody's safety or something's safety. You do your best, and you have to allow that to be enough, because otherwise you live in a perpetual state of anxiety. And when you do that, you're absolutely draining your energy. You may be even creating sort of energy blocks. And I don't know if you've ever felt somebody's worrying about you and you feel that this is, you know, an interference in your life, you know?
Suffocating.
Yes. Mm. And so this is then a kind of a vice, you know?
Mm.
Maybe we could connect it with attachment.
Mm.
Because I think attachment is a vice that makes the person just all the time try to live the life of someone else. And actually, you know, a person has their own karma, they have their own destiny, and there's really nothing you can do about it. But if you try and do that, you're really preventing a person from living their own lives, which is really not a good thing. And it also means that you're worrying about somebody else, then you're not looking after yourself.
Mm.
A very good thing is a little statement that, you know, God helps those who help themselves. You don't hear too much about God helps those who help other people.
Now that you mention, no, never came across that one. Okay. Sister Denise, you know, it's interesting that you say that you can't guarantee the safety of someone else, because it's an extremely common expression in practically every language across the globe. You'll hear a father saying to his daughter's fiancé, you must look after my daughter.
Yeah, okay. But they're still not able to guarantee their safety.
Yeah, but it's such a common burden that people place on themselves. Can one human being really look after another human being?
Well, you can look out for.
Look out for.
And you can take care of, but you can't guarantee.
There are very few people who can draw that distinction. Very few.
But you need to.
For your own sanity, I suppose.
Yeah, because, you know, you can take care to the extent that you can, and then after that it's out of your hands, and you need to know what's in your hands and what's not in your hands. And whatever's not in your hands, that's what people worry about, but it's not in your hands, so there's no point.
Mm. Okay. Now, Sister Denise, worrying has become almost like a favorite pastime, because it's a, you know when you give a dog a bone, okay, the mind grabs onto something that it could chew, and it holds on to it. It's negative, but it's a nice bone.
Yeah, well, that's an addiction.
Hmm. So worrying about people is addictive behavior?
Well, there is something called being addicted to people, which is also given the name codependency. And you find that enormously, you know, people who are addicted to addicts, you know, because you definitely are going to worry about somebody who's irresponsible much more than you worry about somebody who's responsible.
Okay.
And, you know, there are people who feel more important, more alive, if they make a difference to somebody else's life, you know, this idea of needing to be needed.
Mm.
And so they can get busy worrying about somebody else, because then they don't have to live their own lives. Mm. And there's a joke about that, that when they die, somebody else's life flashes before them.
Nasty, very nasty. Funny, but nasty. Sister Denise?
But it just shows you that that is really a vice.
Yes.
And people don't really realize that, you know, worrying like that is a vice, and that means it's a sin.
Ah, is worrying a sin?
Well, when you worry beyond what's in your hands, then yes.
You're creating a sin for yourself?
You are creating a negative karma with the person that you're worrying about. You're suffocating them.
Mm.
You are not doing for yourself what you're supposed to be doing. So you're doing sins of omission. And, you know, there's an imbalance in your life. So, yes, I would say when you're worrying, and there's, you know, just in an addictive way, that's a sin.
Sure. Has Sister Denise, a typical worry bag will feel. I really love my child, my husband, my mother, my father, my aunt, my nyap. And I think about them all the time, and I'm really concerned about their safety. And it's an extension for many of love. What started out as love. And now you dropped a bomb by saying that you're creating sin. That'll be a shock to many.
You see, when you love someone, you feel, oh, I love this person, I like this person. What's happening is you're getting something from them. And so you're associating with them. You start to depend on their presence, their existence in your life. Gradually you become attached to them. And so then you start to actually try to control them and control what happens to them, because you're using them to sustain yourself. And that is improper. And so when you're worrying about them, it's not because of them, it's because of you. Because you cannot bear to be without them. That means you're completely dependent on that person. And especially if that person is irresponsible, or they can easily get into trouble, then you sort of baby them or something like this, and this becomes a highly dysfunctional relationship. And this is why I call it a sin to worry about them.
Sure. That Sister Denise, will be news to many,
well,
because the feeling, not the logic, the feeling when you are attached to somebody and worry about somebody is that you're worried about the object of your affection, not about yourself. It doesn't feel as if it's about you. It feels as if it's about them.
Well, that's why feelings can be deceptive.
Ah, okay. Tell us more about that, because that's also news to many people.
Well, it happens that it makes you dishonest about what you're doing. And you will say to the person, oh, I love you so much, I'm worrying about you. But that person will say, well, look, I feel smothered. I wish you'd leave me alone. And the person will kind of glom on to that one, and it becomes a very uncomfortable relationship, because what they're really doing is taking energy from that person to sustain themselves, and that person really needs to get away. And then the other one will say, no, but I love you. And the other one will say, you know, I don't love you. And then that's a big problem.
So worrying is not a sign of a healthy relationship.
I think I would really draw a line between a healthy concern for the welfare and safety, and you need to be very aware of what is your responsibility. But then when you go past the limit of your responsibility, then you're getting into something that's actually wrong.
Sister Denise, happiness. It is the quest of all of humanity. Why is it that we seem to be striving for the opposite and achieving it?
Well, what is happiness? Sometimes people feel and think and believe that happiness is one of the innate qualities of the soul, or one of the foundational qualities of being. And in fact, happiness is a secondary byproduct of pure karma. So, if you want to experience happiness, then you have to do something which is of benefit, and then you will experience happiness. But if you believe that happiness is a fundamental quality, or that you have a right to it, or that you want it, and you can just kind of force it to come your way, then it doesn't really work like that. And that's because people haven't really understood what happiness is. It is also said that you must preserve your happiness, and that has to do with all the things in your life that that are going well for you, that you could be grateful for. And if you don't appreciate it, or if you sort of listen to messages that take away your happiness by making you feel something else, then it means that you haven't taken care of your happiness. So why happiness is nurturing is because it's all to do with your thoughts. You know, if you think, I'm a very lucky person, I have a really good life, I have good friends, I have meaningful activities in my life, you know, you carry on with such appreciative or positive thoughts about your situation, that is going to keep your happiness. You can have exactly the same situation and think, this other person has more than me, so I'm deprived, and that's not okay. And somebody else has a better car than me, and somebody else has more friends than me, and somebody else got higher grades than me, so that makes me, you know, not so good. So this kind of thinking will actually cause your happiness to drain away, and it's because you didn't pay attention to your thinking about yourself, and you didn't pay attention to appreciate, you know, what they say, count your blessings. If you count your blessings, you will be happy. And you will understand how to take care of yourself. If all you can see is what you haven't got, there's not going to be much happiness.
Okay. Now, Sister Denise, we see many, many examples of people who, in order to, what they call happiness, go spend the day at the beach or go hang out with friends at a pub or horse riding or engage in a hobby, because that activity brings them a good feeling, joy, and they call it happiness. Is that the happiness that you're referring to, or do you define happiness differently? Because that is instant.
Well, these are sense pleasures.
That's not happiness.
I would say not.
Yeah. Okay, I'm glad you kind of answered it that way, because the way you're defining happiness is very different from the way most people understand what it is. So happiness is not sense pleasures. Okay, what else is happiness not?
You know, there's this expression, you will make me happy. You have to do something to benefit me and then I'll be happy. It's like people expect each other to be responsible for their happiness, and that is quite a big mistake, because you need to make it clear for yourself that you're absolutely not responsible for somebody's happiness. And if somebody accuses you of not making you happy, you need to be able to have some responses ready to say, you know, well, how about you making yourself happy? Mm. You know, my function is not to make you happy. That is not why I'm here in this relationship.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's many people's definition of love. You make me happy, I make you happy. That is our, you know, mutual dysfunctionality until death do us part.
Or divorce.
Okay, is that where you see that relationship heading?
Well, yes, because it's very, it's not at all nurturing. You're not contributing anything, you just want to take.
Okay. Taking, the sanskar of taking, what does it do to the soul? And Sister Denise, in any given relationship, there's both giving and taking. So is taking wrong in spiritual terms? Or do you have to continue looking at your bank balance of your relationship to think, I've taken out this much, I've got to make in a deposit?
I think it's a good idea.
Okay, it sounds a bit clinical.
Well, if you pay attention to make sure that you are doing your side, you know, it's easy to take. You don't count what you take. You tend to count more what you give, you know.
Oh, so we're bad accountants.
I think so.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
And so a good relationship is mutually beneficial. If it's one-sided, somebody's doing all the giving, somebody's doing all the taking, the credit balance will reach a point where it'll break down, you see, because a good relationship is where things are in balance, and it can tip to a certain point and reestablish itself, but it goes beyond that point, it'll break down.
Okay. Now, Sister Denise, it's interesting that we gravitated towards the subject of relationships, because we tend to get, that's the arena in which we look for our happiness, don't we?
Okay. Yes.
So now, you said earlier that happiness is not sense pleasures. And then you said happiness is not waiting for someone else to make you happy. What else is happiness not that people seem to believe deeply that it is?
A nice expensive dinner.
That's not happiness.
A new dress, a new pair of shoes, a new electronic device, a new car. But, you know, we're in a consumer society. We're very materialistic, and you know, the messages are that if you have this, and this status symbol, that will make you happy. And it's a lie.
So then, in that context, define the real kind of happiness that you gain from your spiritual practice. Where does your happiness come from if it doesn't come from this?
My happiness comes from a variety of things. One of the things that really makes me happy is when I understand something that I didn't understand before. That is a really very good experience, internal. So, I mean, I get happiness from increasing my awareness, increasing my understanding. You get probably a huge amount of happiness when you do something and a lot of people are benefited, because what happens in that situation is there's an energy that returns to you from those people, and that energy actually carries you very nicely for a little while, and you feel very, very nice. And you can realize that, yeah, the more I do good karma, the more I am creating happiness for myself.
Now, Sister Denise, if one has to look at the Supreme Soul in this picture, okay? In one of our previous episodes, you described him as being the bestower of happiness. What does that mean? Does he look at you and think, ah, you, my child, this can do with a dose. Here's some happiness. Is it just handed down?
Sometimes, yes.
Why?
You know, sometimes you kind of do things that God thinks are good. And I had a very interesting experience one time, very strange thing. There was an extremely severe car accident, fatal. Very, very bad. And then I was called to go and take care of some of the injured. And so I decided, I was with some other people. They were in the intensive care in the hospital, extremely badly injured. And I said, okay, I'll take the night duty. I'll go from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. and I'll just sit there and just meditate and, you know, give vibrations. And I did that for 10 days, 10 nights. And what happened is, you know, I was just kind of being attentive to make sure that that patient received whatever they needed and that proper care was taken, something like this. At the end of 10 days, the person left the body. One of their close relatives came, and so they could meet before she died. And then, you know, we did all the necessary things for funeral and so on. And it was a really very, very tragic case. And at the end of it, when all was over and I was returning back to here where we are now, I experienced this extraordinary happiness. And I thought, you know, this is not good, because this is a really tragic situation. What am I doing grinning from ear to ear in this huge wave of happiness? So I was kind of trying to suppress it, but very curious as to where this came from, because it seemed to me totally inappropriate. And then in my you know, communication with God subsequently, it was as if the question was asked, you know, do you know why you were happy? And I'm saying, how come you know? He was spying on me. And I said, no, you know, and it was said, it was because you served. So I said, yeah, okay, that is a very important piece of information, that when you really serve people or an individual, that is the thing that brings happiness. And I've also heard it from other people who engage in different philanthropic activities, that is really where they found their happiness.
Sister Denise, any last words on the subject of worrying and or happiness?
I think very important for people to remember that happiness is your treasure, it's your asset, it's your belonging, and you're responsible to take care of it. Do not let anybody steal it. Do not throw it away. Do not waste it. It's a valuable treasure, so look after it.
Lovely note on which to end. So thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your valuable insights. So there you go, worrying and happiness. I think it's a very important question to ask yourself. Are you a worry bag? Do you worry about such and such a person in your life sometimes or all the time, whether it's a child or an adult? Sister Denise has shared, worrying is a counterproductive activity. And she said that it can actually harm the relationship between you and the object of your worry. So a very deep and powerful message as far as this is concerned. What I liked about the information, or rather spiritual experience, that was shared about happiness is that happiness is a secondary emotion. And a very beautiful thing to know is that whatever good you do for people will bring happiness into your life. Many of us define happiness in a way that's got nothing to do with that virtue, but through the wrong means. And if you find yourself in this category, you should really ask your own heart what makes you happy, not just for now, but for the days to come. So there you go, the subject of worrying and the subject of happiness. I do wish your worries come to an end, and I do wish you a life of happiness. Thank you so much for joining us, and goodbye.